Hi, this is Atticus. You might know my mom, Heather, from Shine.fm. This is the Shine.fm Momcast. Take it away.
Today I have an author. She's just written a new book called Grief and Grits, A Daughter's Journey of Love and Loss When the World Was Upside Down. It just became available. I have Marcia Gray Hill today on the Momcast.
Why was this book so important for you to write?
Oh, it was so important for me to write this book because in order to get through grief, you have to have a lot of grit. And it's a story. I really wanted to write the story about my mom, Adeline Gray, that I lost early during the pandemic. And she wasn't just a number. She was a beautiful soul that touched so many lives while she was here on earth. One of my endorsers wrote that she was the most godliest woman he'd ever met. Mm. And so I really wanted to honor her. But it's also a story about me and about the lessons I've learned and how I've grown. But most importantly are the lessons that my mom taught me at every stage in my life. Mm. And it's not easy losing a mom at any age because my mom was 91. Mm. I lost her in a difficult, traumatic way because she wasn't allowed to die with dignity. Mm. And that's just something we all deserve. I mean, a lot of people were just robbed on giving their loved ones proper funerals. And, you know, we needed community. We needed hugs. I'm from the South. We needed that comfort food.
Right, yeah.
And we just didn't. We just didn't get it. And so I feel like if I didn't tell my mom's story, that we're going to lose out on everything that we've learned. And we need to learn from these stories so that we can heal. So that's really why I wrote the book. And I was angry about how things went down when she died in the early on in the pandemic. So, but that's why I wrote the book.
And what would you say, and I would say I'd like to have two parts of this answer if possible, but like, what was the greatest challenge that you faced in caring for your mom, but like within the confines of the pandemic, but then also I would say, what was the greatest challenge that you faced just taking care of your mom as at the end of life in those, I'm sure they both had your different challenges in different ways.
Yes. Well, before the pandemic, I didn't ever expect to care for my mother, but I did for like over probably 10 years. The roles reversed because she had dementia and eventually Alzheimer's. And so you grow up, your parents take care of you. And then the roles reversed and I became her mother and she was my baby. Mm. And so it was very difficult because I wanted to take care of her every second, but I had this huge family. I have 15 grandchildren and, you know, five children and, you know, they're not all in the same town with me. And so it was just very challenging. And so I, you know, had to start looking for caregivers when she could no longer stay in an assisted living. And so I wanted her close to me. So I had a little apartment right down the street and I started looking for caregivers, but that was so challenging because it's hard to find caregivers that are patient and kind and trustworthy. And I would go through these home care agencies and, you know, they would say, oh, I'm sending the best person tomorrow. And it would just be whoever was available. And so it just got really, really frustrating. It was hard. And during the pandemic, the other side of that was I finally at one point, you know, found great caregivers, but then everyone was scared and some left. And it was very challenging because they were scared like the rest of the world. At first, I was upset about that. And I've learned to give them grace because we were all scared, you know.
Yeah.
It was just a difficult time because it was early COVID. And so, but I had one wonderful caregiver that stayed with my mom until she took her last breath. Mm. And she ended up with COVID and she didn't care. She stayed right there, literally in the bed with my mother. Mm. But it was hard to find her. I'm not gonna lie.
Right.
Yeah. It was very hard to find the ones because they're never going to be the family member, you know, they're never, you know, and that's just like if you take your kid to daycare or if you hire a nanny, they still need you. Right. So I think a lot of people think, okay, you've got caregivers, you've got, you know, but you got to take care of the caregivers and then you want to be there with your mom. So you try so hard to be there as much as you can, because I think truly that's the most important thing. I was just talking with someone. They were saying that there's really high statistics about people that when people are in nursing homes or assisted livings, that their families never show up. They just don't go. They think, oh, they're being taken care of, and they obviously don't need me. Or they get, I know everybody gets so busy in their lives, but these parents took care, or loved ones, whoever is you're going to see, I'm sure you, they were a special, they had some special place in your heart. They were there for us.
Yeah.
And it's a give back situation. It's, you know, that's right. How I felt. That's how I felt about my mother, because she was a special, special, special mother.
That's awesome. How did you balance that? And you mentioned it just a little bit, but I think one of the things that I have seen with some of my friends is when they are taking care of their loved ones, their parents that are aging, they don't necessarily do a great job of taking care of themselves. And then, you know, I would say the same for moms who take care of littles. You know, we take care of littles and we raise these kids, but we don't really do a good job of taking care of ourselves. So how did you handle that? Did you feel like you did that well? Did you navigate that? How was that for you in that process?
Well, it was really hard. My mom, I live in Florida, but my mom, I grew up in North Carolina. So she was in North Carolina. So I ended up moving her to Florida, which was really difficult because her community was North Carolina. So here I am uprooting her, but I wanted so badly to take care of her myself because I only had one other sibling and he couldn't do it, you know. It was very challenging. So I was kind of doing it alone. The responsibility was 100% me. And I would say to people, try hard to get help and, you know, to reach out to friends and family members, because other family members, if you have them, because you will get burned out. And it can be lonely. And you know, even if you have emotional support, you know, sometimes you don't have all the physical support, but you really need both. But
yeah,
whatever support you can give is crucial. And to try to take time for yourself. That my mother never took care of herself. And I kind of fall in that same category.
Yeah.
But I think we do, each generation gets a little better at that, or we're trying to, you know. But I think, you know, it's a two-edged sword. So there's like, I think our generation is also too much of a me, you know, society. So it's trying to find that balance is just very difficult. I don't know how to give advice, because it's just, every situation is different. Every story is different. It's just one of the most challenging things I did was care for my mother, but the most rewarding one too. I mean, I would have not had it any other way. And I feel bad for people that, I had some resources to help take, you know, to take care of her. And my heart breaks for the ones that don't. But even if you can get them in a home or somewhere, just make sure you get there. Get there to be with them as much as possible.
Now that you've been through this, looking back, hindsight, do you think there were some things, and obviously putting the pandemic aside, you can't plan for a pandemic, but in caring for your mom, are there some things you could have done to plan for that better? And I know we never know. Our family lost a loved one in the last 6 months. You can never plan for that. But like, if you're looking at taking, your parents are aging, what are some things that someone could do to maybe help plan to make that a little better for them?
Yeah, well, I'm a real big planner with having five children. I was always like three steps ahead of everything.
Yeah,
because I had to be. And so when I moved my mom to Florida, forget about the pandemic, because that just threw it all out the window,
right?
Everything I planned. When I moved her to Florida, I knew that she wanted to be buried, of course, in North Carolina beside my dad. And so I really started way ahead, especially when she got Alzheimer's, trying to plan her funeral and, you know, every little detail, that because I really wanted her to have this amazing, amazing funeral, which didn't happen. But I had planned, you know, where she would be buried, what funeral home, just all the, I mean, I literally had pictures of her framed in a FedEx box with a FedEx label, ready to go to the North Carolina funeral. And I just wanted her to have such a special one. But there are things I think you can do ahead to get ready. so that it's not so much on you, because you're already you're grieving, you know, you're in such a bad place. And the more you can do ahead, I think, is very helpful. It didn't, I mean, it still was helpful even with the pandemic, because I still had to get my mom to North Carolina. And if I hadn't had those things in place, because I had no one to help me, especially during the pandemic, I couldn't call a friend and say, come over here and help me. They couldn't come in my home. I couldn't reach out to anyone. So I say my plans went down the drain, but thank God I did have the few plans I, you know, did have in all the plans I did have in place, because I could pull for some of those plans. They did work, you know, just not everything I envisioned for her.
Right. Yeah. So what happened with the funeral? I'm assuming you talk about that in the book, but were you not able to have a celebration of life because of the pandemic? And how did you, like, what did you do with that?
Yeah, well, the laws were different each state. And so getting her back to North Carolina, oh, well, I had COVID, because my mom ended up dying with COVID. We found out 2 days before she died. And so there was all these restrictions back then. Oh, you can't be around people if you have COVID until X amount of days, until you've got a second negative test, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I didn't know if people wanted me around them, because I was nearing that 13, 14 day. And then a lot of hotels weren't open. And, so literally I FaceTimed my mom's funeral, but we could have, I think you could have 50 people, if I remember correctly, in North Carolina. And so, it was mostly, my brother was there, and it was mostly his friends, and it was just, yeah, very sad. And so we, ended up doing something later with my family in Florida on the beach, and just doing a, you know, a celebration of her life later. But it was a very troubling time. It was really sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you got the closure that you needed now, looking back? Because I know, with the loved one that I had passed, that was something that I really wanted, was to make sure that I got what I needed out of that. So was the beach, was that what you, how you got that closure, or what was it for you that was able to give you that closure for her death?
Yes, I think sometimes, you know, I envisioned this. My mother was so loved. I mean, I envisioned just thousands of people being there. And, you know, I had two videos I had made of her life and all these things. But I know that God had a different plan now. When I look back, because you look back and you analyze everything. But, you know, Sometimes we want these big weddings. It's almost sometimes not for show. I don't mean it like that. I don't mean that in a negative way, because, you know, I had a big wedding. My children had big weddings. But I think sometimes the older you get, like, you realize the more intimate things are and the smaller things are more special. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it was really a blessing in the end that we didn't go. And we had just my little family on the beach with a beautiful prayer. And it was a day that there was not a cloud in the sky. I mean, there had not been one drop of rain. And immediately when I had written this beautiful prayer for my mom, all of a sudden, rainbow appeared and out of nowhere. And it was a special day. We had, my little grandchildren wore mama's, all her jewelry. She didn't, you know, she just had costume jewelry.
Yeah.
We grew up really poor, so, and they wore her jewelry, and we planted a tree in the yard, and we watched those videos that I had made. It was just so much more special. I feel like we felt her presence more, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in an ugly way, because I would have loved to have seen all the people that loved Mama. And right. So later we did, we dedicated a playground in Mama's honor at a church camp that she loved. And so that was the time I got to meet, I mean, to see all my special people that I needed to have that, the community feeling, you know? So I was blessed that it all those things happened.
Good. That's good. Yeah. Because I know that's one thing people said to me, was make sure that, like, when we planned my loved one's service, like, make sure that this is, you know, what you can get the closure out of it. And so I know with everything that you dealt with, I think that, like you said, even though you would have wanted it to be different, at least you were able to have, you know, that special moment with your family. That's amazing. Well, one final question for you. What advice would you give to someone who is caring for their loved one right now?
Just be there for them. Be their advocate. because it's crucial to be there with their healthcare providers, because a lot of times they can no longer do it for themselves. And I just think that's the most important thing, really. Elderly people don't have anyone, and it's just, they're like a child. They can't speak for themselves, and they need somebody there getting all the information, trying to do the right things for them. We're not perfect. We may not do everything perfect, but I think sometimes also listen to your gut. I mean, I had to do that. I just didn't do what the doctor wanted me to do with mom. I wouldn't drop her off at the ER because I knew with the Alzheimer's. I listened to my gut and did what I thought was right for her at, you know, in that moment.
Right.
I wanted to be with her those last days. And I know a lot of people didn't have a choice,
mm-hmm.
and they had to do that. And my heart breaks for the ones that didn't get to see their loved ones.
Yeah.
It was just a really difficult time.
Yeah.
And I want people to know that they're not alone. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book too, because I want, especially those that have found themselves walking on the same path that I found myself on. I hope this book will be very helpful to them.
That's awesome. Well, again, the book is Grief and Grits, and it's Marcia Gray Hill. Thank you for joining us today on the Momcast.
It was so great to be here.